Hello, and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. And today, we're taking you back to one of the great sea battles of the Second World War, in which Germany's most famous battleship, the Scharnhorst, was sunk. Claire Bowes has been speaking to a Witness listener who was there when it went down.
It's the 26th of December, 1943. The Allies have had a good year. Italy has surrendered, and the Soviet Union has defeated Germany in the Battle of Stalingrad. But the Soviets are relying heavily on vital supplies from their allies, Britain and America. Convoys of ships tackle some of the harshest conditions in the world to bring munitions to the far north Russian ports of the Arctic Circle. Norman Scarth, just turned 18, is on board a British naval destroyer, HMS Matchless.
I joined the Royal Navy as soon as they'd allow me to at 17 and a half. All I wanted to do, as we all did, we wanted to beat Hitler. That was all that was we were concerned about.
His first chance to beat Hitler comes in the freezing dark Arctic waters. HMS Matchless is part of a British force protecting a returning convoy from the Germans. With sub-zero temperatures, constant storms and huge waves, it was a stark induction for a novice like Norman.
Like Nelson, I was a poor sailor from a point of view of seasickness. And seasickness, as anyone knows, you wish you were dead.
On Christmas Day, HMS Matchless was told to change course.
We were ordered to leave that returning convoy and join another convoy because it was rumoured that the Scharnhorst was out. And the Scharnhorst was greatly feared. She was the most successful fighting ship of any navy during World War II. She had a reputation, and she deserved it.
Hitler was getting very agitated about the Russian convoys going through.
The Commander-in-Chief, or C&C, of the whole operation was Admiral Sir Bruce Fraser.
At 4 o'clock in the morning came the signal from the Admiralty just saying the Admiralty believed that the Scharnhorst is at sea.
Admiral Fraser was ready. The Scharnhorst did try to attack the convoy, but she was fought off by three British battlecruisers. Then, as he later told the BBC, he decided it was time to confront the great German ship and finish her off.
When we decided exactly the time the battle would start, it came out to about 5:30, I think, and so we discussed whether we should have tea before the battle or wait till afterwards. We had tea before the battle.
The 31,000-tonne Scharnhorst was said to be quicker than any other battlecruiser and was beating a hasty retreat away from the initial clash. But it was no use. She didn't know it then, but she was already surrounded by 14 British ships, including HMS Matchless.
It was Boxing Day when we finally met up with the 10th Cruiser Squadron and the Scharnhorst. She then didn't want to engage in battle. She was only there to sink the convoy if she got the chance. She'd been ordered not to challenge major forces. So she set off, abandoned her mission and set off for the Norwegian fjords, which was her base and her safe haven.
So she was heading home?
She was heading home for safety. We shadowed with the use of radar, and our radar was better than the Germans. We knew, however, that she was heading straight towards HMS Duke of York, another force with the Commander-in-Chief on HMS Duke of York, a battleship with 14-inch guns. We knew that. The Scharnhorst didn't.
My job is to fire the guns of the port forward battery. After waiting what seemed to be an endless day with some doubt about being in time to catch the Scharnhorst, we got target at 16:30, just the time the C&C calculated, and we were all set. Jerry was caught with his pants down, or guns fore and aft. The target was soon illuminated by a star shell, and then a few seconds, and crash. Our 14-inch guns sent death in a broadside to the sneaking Jerry.
The Scharnhorst had been taken completely by surprise as the British ships closed in on her.
All of it, if you like, met up there. So then it was just all hell broke loose. Although it was pitch black, it was lit up, bright as day, by star shells. Like fireworks, if you like, providing brilliant light, illuminating the area like broadest day.
So it's evening, Boxing Day. The star shells have lit up Scharnhorst. you see her for the first time, what does she look like to you?
Magnificent and beautiful. I've described her as the most beautiful fighting ship of any navy. She truly was. And fires aboard her then, but most wonderful, magnificent ship. And firing with all guns still available to her. She had three turrets of 11-inch guns, and one by one they were put her out of action.
When we got up to her, I think within about half a mile, she was half over, and she was fires about, fires all over the place, and it was really very unpleasant having to go on shooting at her, because we didn't know whether she'd surrendered or what she'd done, but we had to sink her, unpleasant as it was.
As we were steaming past at full speed, a 20mm cannon was firing tracer bullets from the Scharnhorst. Now, a 20mm cannon was like a pea shooter compared to the other guns, and it could have no part in this battle. But it was just a gesture of defiance from the sloping deck of her. And that's one of the things that remains in my memory. They didn't hit the other destroyers that I'm aware of, and they didn't hit us. It was a futile gesture, but it was a gesture of defiance right to the very end.
At about 7:30, the remaining four destroyers, Musketeer, Matchless, Opportune and Virago, attacked with torpedoes. A number of hits were obtained, and the Scharnhorst capsized and sank, although we couldn't see it at the time because of the amount of smoke hanging over the area.
We came to the end of our torpedo run and hove to come in again to fire the torpedoes from the port side. But at that point, for some reason, it went pitch black, whether the star sails had finished, and I presume possibly also the Scharnhorst had being sunk, the fires aboard her had gone out, and Scharnhorst was nowhere to be seen. So we slowed and we hove to, and we soon saw many men floating in the water, most of them dead, face down in the water, but some were alive. So we'd switched our searchlight on, believing her to be sunk, and saw all these men, and our captain called out. He needed to be sure that she was no longer a threat to us. And I remember him calling out to the men in the water, "Scharnhorst gesunken!" And the reply came back, "Ja, Scharnhorst gesunken." So we threw scrambling nets down and ropes and began to haul these men aboard. And we had actually picked up six of them. 36 were saved, all told, out of nearly 2,000 men. And then we received an order from the Commander-in-Chief, join the Duke of York and escort her back to Murmansk. So we switched off the searchlight, pulled up the scrambling nets and steamed away, still hearing voices calling from the black of that winter Arctic night, calling for help, and we were leaving those men to certain death within minutes.
And what did you think when you realised the boat was leaving?
It seemed a terrible thing to do, and it was. But terrible though it seemed, it was the right thing to do. If we had stayed there a moment too long, we were a perfect target for the U-boats in the area, and if we'd stayed a moment too long, we could have joined those unfortunate men. So I can hear those voices yet, and I grieve for those men every day of my life.
Norman Scarth, Ending Witness, from Claire Bowes. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.